Mitch and I have been working together on and off for about a year and a half, and he's really helped me out. And everything that he said today kind of ties together everything that's in the new game of selling. Get the audio files, and however you listen to them and be open and be teachable. And then you're going to have to just go out into the field and try it and maybe get bloodied a little bit, so to speak, and make some mistakes. But in doing that, as you apply these principles and these techniques, and as you listen to re-listen to these Rainmakers calls, and take and implement the suggestions in these calls, you're going to own it, and eventually you'll internalize it. And I think what Margaret said is important. You know, she said in so many words, she basically said of Mitch earlier, you know, it's very easy, Mitch. It rolls off your tongue to offer these things in front of the client. It is, because Mitch has owned it and internalized it, and that's what we need to do as we're in front of these potential clients. And just getting back to Margaret for a second, if you need help, especially with the type of people you're working with, I somewhat understand their business. I'm more than happy to help you, and we can have that conversation offline.
Thank you.
No problem. I'll send you along my contact information, and, you know, maybe we can talk in the next week or so.
That would be super.
And I just wanted to try to tie everything together, and then if you want me to share how I got my first client, I can do that.
I'd love to hear it all.
Okay. Basically, what I think Mitch has said and what I hear everyone saying is, we're trying to turn suspects into prospects. One of the things I learned in the last couple of months and that I put into practice in the last month or so was that everyone's a suspect, because everyone has a problem with one of those five leverage points. And I whittled it down to three leverage points, and I said, attract, convert, and retain. And in talking to people over the last month or so, I just, you know, told the story that, you know, of what I'm embarking upon, and that, you know, I've identified three issues in everybody's business. They either have a problem with attracting, converting, and retaining. And I asked the question, which one of these is a problem for you? And it opens up the dialogue. So at that point, if the dialogue is opened up, they then become a prospect. Now, one of the things that Mitch stated today was this idea of getting some type of commitment to proceed, and I would encourage everybody to do no unpaid consulting. So what I mean by that is, early in the call, I think in the beginning, Mitch was talking about referability and getting the opportunity to get in front of somebody, and if nothing else, you're setting the stage for referrals. I call that an upfront contract, because whether or not they're a prospect, you're essentially setting the stage for them to refer you, and hopefully we've provided enough value up front that they would see that we might be able to help somebody. But even with this idea of, I think it might have been Alan who was talking earlier, about, going to a so-called proposal stage, I would encourage you not to do that until you get some commitment, and I think Mitch pretty much reiterated that we want to get some type of commitment to proceed, and number two, a retainer, and number three, if we're going to be doing proposals for somebody, the upfront contract that states they will do business with nobody else, because otherwise we're giving away value and they're going to take it to the nearest competitor, and that competitor will try to me to us, if you know what I mean. He'll try to do everything that we say we'll do, and he'll undercut our price, and the prospect will go that way. And I learned the hard way as a financial planner that I gave away too much without getting an upfront contract over the past few years and getting at least some money, on retainer. The other point I wanted to make in terms of summary was the idea of questioning carefully. Mitch put it eloquently, and I'll just summarize it by saying we want to ask three deep questions, which is, I think he said it, but, why did you call on me and for what purpose and, why at this time? We're trying to determine what their pain is, and it's not surface pain. It's the deep pain that's going to cause them to seek a solution. You know, if I have bronchitis and it's been prolonged for 3 to 5 months, I'll do anything right now. My pain is so great because I've been coughing up a storm for 5 months. I'll do anything right now to get a solution, and I'll pay just about anything to get it done. Which leads me to how I got my first client. I basically went out into a natural market, and my natural market was insurance and financial planners. And I started to have conversations. I went to a couple networking events where they all gather, and I started to have conversations with people that I knew in the industry, and I told the story of what I was doing, and I just basically explained the three leverage points. I also identified another market, non-selling professionals, which was accountants and attorneys, and some other occupations in that non-selling class. And I came across a potential client who was not only a certified financial planner but also a CPA. I said, I would love to talk to you about an organization you belong to. Can we have a cup of coffee? We sat down. We had a cup of coffee. It cost me $2.39. And in the process, I told her my testimonial of what I've gone through and how much Mitch has helped me, and that now I've become a, in so many words, a protege of Mitch's, and I'm out passing along the wisdom and the experience that I've learned. And her response to me was, that sounds great. I need something like that. I would love to have you help me and pass along what you've learned. When can we begin? Now, we didn't talk price. She didn't ask for a proposal or nothing else. I said, well, it's going to cost you $20,000. And without batting an eye, she said, okay. And I said, I half jokingly said $20,000, but my point was, she would have paid anything. And I said, it's not going to cost you that much, but it's going to cost you X. And what I need you to do is to commit to moving forward, and I'm going to invoice you, and once you receive the invoice and you pay me, we'll go forward. Now, I outlined for her three stages. Assess, in this case, coaching, but the second step could be coaching, training, consulting, whoever it is, the prospect you're talking to. Assess, coach, and empower. Assess is the value profile up front, and we're going to do profiles for her before we determine what course of action. Then we're going to engage. I know she wants me to coach her, so we're going to engage in some coaching, but that's where the proposal is going to come in. And I call a proposal a scope of services. I'm going to outline the services and the additional cost for that, and then we're going to empower her to change because she knows she needs to modify something in her life to give her more satisfaction and help her with the success she wants to achieve. And success for people, especially this candidate, is not about money. It's about other things. But if you follow this idea of assessing and either coaching, training, or consulting, and then empowering, and kind of lock into that, then you'll probably not do much unpaid consulting, and you'll get people to agree to an upfront contract. And if nothing else, you'll be doing value profiles and getting paid for it quite well, where you're not giving away your time upfront. So in the course of a half-hour conversation over a $2.39 cup of coffee, I got my first client, and I actually, without going into further detail because I know time's short, I actually have three or four in the works. Some are individual coaching candidates, and one of them is a company that is going to retain me to actually work with their sales and marketing people. It's a manufacturing concern, and it's going to be a longer-term engagement. So I just wanted to try to say that all as concisely as possible, tie it together, and then tell you just by getting out, sharing your life experience, you'll know more than what other people know. And we have a team now, fellow Rainmakers, and, of course, our leader there, Mitch, who have a lot of answers. And if none of us have the answers, we certainly can find somebody who has the answers. So don't be afraid to go out there because you know more than other people know at this stage of the game.
Wow, Joe, yeah.
It's impressive.
All right, let's hear it for Joe.
Yay!
Go, Joe. Thank you. That was great.
You know what? Let's hear it for Mitch because let's give credit where credit's due. One of the things that resonated with me that Mitch has always said to me and that came up a couple of times in the call last time was the phrase about, imperfect action beats perfect inaction all the time. And two things that I determined was I just had to get out there and do it, and I had to get out there, not only get out there and do it, but I had to just share what my testimony was. And I felt if I could do that and do it rapidly and share what I had gone through, that other people would latch onto it and would want to go forward with it. And I feel like Mitch, and I think all of us do, that if we learn something and it works well for us, that we have an obligation to share it, not just amongst ourselves, but amongst people that we know in our target markets. And, you know, so again, credit to Mitch, because a lot of things have just kind of converged now. And I think that's why, you know, the time was right for me to have this success.
Yay, Mitch!
Well, yay, Joe, you know what? This is, like, totally gratifying to me because I could say it all day long, you know, but when you say it, it really carries some weight. And so, first of all, congratulations. You really deserve it because I know how hard you worked at this. And it was a lot easier, it seems, you're saying, than you might have made it out to be, huh? Or that we're maybe making it out to be.
Well, yes and no. Let me just say, you have to be a student. I became a student, and you know, when the student was ready, the teacher appeared, and that was Mitch. I then soaked in as much as I could. I basically downloaded every MP3 file that's on Mitch's website, including the ones that you know we have access to, like the New Game of Selling, but even the free content that's there. I listened to it all. A lot of it was repetitive from call to call, but you know what? That's where it sinks in, and that's where the lasting change comes when you internalize it. And all of us on this call have demonstrated that we have a high level of integrity, and we want to help people out. We want to serve others and give the highest and best value. And so, you know, when you go forward and you internalize that and you show people that you have a passion for what you're doing, it's infectious. And people will want to be around you to know what you to learn what you know, and they'll pay you for it. And part of the thing for me, what you know, it took me a year and a half to get going, but it all converged in a month here, and I took action. Part of it for me was getting rid of my own head trash, as I call it. And you know, it's just the fear of maybe charging too much, the fear of getting out there and saying, oh, I don't know enough, and all these other fears. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it anyways. And let me just give you one example. Some of you may know I live in Buffalo, New York. The first game of the Buffalo Bills season, the football team here, there was a player named Kevin Everett, and he got into a very serious injury, and his prognosis was not good. He was actually paralyzed, and one day in September, his life changed. The second day, the day after he got paralyzed, the doctors told him, you will never walk again. 3 months later in December, Kevin Everett just about walked out onto the football field. He's walking, and the only thing that prevented him from walking out on the field was the weather that day here in Buffalo. But he did walk in the locker room, and he was an inspiration to his team. And, you know, I would just tell you, there's nothing that you can't overcome. And the biggest thing you're going to have to overcome is between your two ears. And I'm not saying that to be caustic to anybody. I'm saying it from experience. But once you overcome that and just get out and start applying this and just do it, to coin a phrase, you'll see the success. And you just kind of lather, rinse, repeat, and just tell your story and tell your story, and people are going to jump in. And I'll shut up now.
Wow, Joe, man, you make me want to get up and go do it now. I swear.
Inspiring.
That was great. That was great. You know, and he's so right on everything he says, especially about me. No, I'm just kidding.
oh, stand up and take a bow, miss. Don't be shy.
I just had to get that one in. You know, and what he said at the end there was so true. You know, he spent over a year, and then in 1 month, more happened in 1 month than happened in the year. Now, did it have to take a year and a half? Well,
no, no, it didn't, and that's what I'm trying to encourage you all. It doesn't have to take a year and a half. You know, that was my own head trash, but and in hindsight, I would have done it all differently, but. You know, I just, some things just kept resonating in my mind about, you know, speed and you know, the perfect inaction and just getting out there and sharing my story. And I said, if I share my story, because I have a conviction about my story, about what I've gone through, the process of self-discovery and how the training I've learned. And I've been in sales and marketing now for virtually all my life. So I can share and take what I've learned. And I said, you know what? I have a 20-year story. That or 25-year story, actually, that I can go out and tell people, and this is where I've been, this is where I've come to, this is the successes, this is the failures I've had, And if I can impress upon people that they need to have a 20-year vision, but that I can help them get to where they want to be and shortcut that by what I've learned and the mistakes I've made, then there's got to be some value in that, and people will want to at least listen, and not only that, pay me for it. So it just became a matter of sitting down and saying, okay, you know, where am I going to be best suited to talk to people who will hear this story, and what better place than my natural market, which is amongst fellow associates in the insurance and financial planning industry. But at the same time, I also determined that I was going to work with two other industries and create, if you will, a three-legged stool of, you know, out in the marketplace, so that I'd constantly have a stream of suspects that I could turn into qualified prospects. And I also determined to start small on an individual level, and then work up to the larger corporate-type sale.
You know, Joe is really hit on something here, and especially about the knowledge thing and the story. Your own experience is your authority. Your authority is in your experience. I don't know how many of you looked at the 121 new game plays that I sent out. I sent it out last month. But one of them is you are an authority in your life experience. And I think, Joe, of everything that was said today, that this is the most profound. Joe really hit on it, is that wherever you are in your evolution, especially with respect to the new game and the solutions and the integrity of what we're trying to help other people accomplish, you will not meet anybody else with your unique story and your unique journey. And so if you can elevate your thinking from the systemic, I have to know the answers, facts, figures, all that stuff, all right, which is important, but it's not what connects with people. What connects with people is helping them get an extrinsic result, a higher value, and connecting with them at the intrinsic level of your humanity. And the intrinsic level of your humanity is who you are, your story, your journey, how you've gotten from where you were to where you are. And you know, Joe, you really, I mean, you've reinvigorated me here today, because it's so easy to take for granted and discount the value of our own life experience. And especially when it comes to, you know, anything that you've done with the new game, because you feel like you have to know it all, but you already know enough to help people. We have the solutions. You don't have to be the knowledge source. Your job is to tell your story. And I couldn't end this call any better, so I'm not going to, you know, extend it beyond that. I think that was just the perfect way to summarize and encapsulate how you can go forth from today on with a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of approaching things. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's old and trite, and I don't like to use it, but it is true that people don't care how much you know. You know, they just want to know that you care. And if you care, you'll find a way to find the solution. You know, so you're all caring people. You're all compassionate people. I know all of your profiles. You're all empathetic people. And if you take Joe's lead and shorten the cycle and start sharing your story of where you're at with passion and enthusiasm, you'll get the same result. And trust me, it won't take you a year or 6 months or even 90 days. You could have it tomorrow.